The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The theme of our study today is ending well, and we're finishing chapter 11, the faith chapter of Hebrews. Here's some wisdom about ending well. One person said the end is never the end, it's always the beginning of something. Another person, Chaucer, said all good things must come to an end. You've heard that. Every life has an ending, but in Christ, every ending is a new beginning. Then comedian George Burns says, the secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and having the two as close together as possible. At the end of Hebrews 11, the author sounds like the preacher who just noticed the clock and needs to end things quickly. In fact, he lists a few names without comment. He describes the experience of others without identifying those others. But he spent, in the previous part, careful attention to 10 great people of faith in God, and he did so in chronological order. We've studied Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Rahab. And then he hurriedly closes with 6 names that aren't in order. And it concludes a list of 16 names of the faithful in the Great Hall of Faith. He admits he's out of time. Hebrews 11:32, what else can I say? There isn't enough time. Should I go on? I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. And of those closing faithful, some won great victories, had spectacular results because of their faith, while others suffered horrible death and torture, but all gain God's approval. He begins with 4 from the time of the judges: Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. And these are followed by David, Samuel, and the prophets we're going to study. And of the first 5 men that he lists, all had some serious shortcomings, but God used and blessed them because of their faith. And this list is followed by nameless martyrs who, through faith, sacrificed everything. Well, he commends 4 faithful judges. Hebrews 11:32. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. Their stories are all told in the Old Testament book of Judges. And you might know that Judges is the 7th book of the Bible. And they all, unfortunately, follow a pattern. God's people become unfaithful over time, and God will deliver them into the hands of their enemies. The people repent and beg God for mercy, and God will raise up and send a judge who will deliver them from oppression. Then they prosper, and soon they fall back into unfaithfulness, and the cycle is repeated again and again and again, and that's why all of the judges were raised up. The judges took over the leadership after Joshua's death. The Israelites were in the land of Canaan, not Palestine. The word Palestine is not in the Bible, but the land of Canaan. They began worshiping the gods of the Canaanites. Israel didn't get rid of the enemies of God as he had commanded, and they reaped the consequences of their disobedience. Throughout the period of the judges, God abandoned his people. They suffered until they repented, and repeatedly a phrase is given throughout the book of Judges: everyone did what was right in his own eyes, or what they pleased. That's exactly the philosophy in the world today. And that's why the world is so messed up. And that's why everyone needs to repent and return to God. Some believe that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. Charles Schulz, the creator of Charlie Brown, teased in one of his cartoons, it doesn't matter what you believe just as long as you're sincere. Josh McDowell, a lawyer and Christian apologist, wrote an article, does it really matter what I believe? And he writes, that philosophy is based on the belief that some have that there's no absolute truth, that truth varies with individuals and circumstances. And Josh McDowell said this: unfortunately, that's not the case. Belief will not create fact. Truth is independent of belief. No matter how hard I may try, believing something won't make it true. For example, I might believe with all my heart I want it to snow tomorrow. This does not guarantee snow. Or I may believe that my rundown old car is really a new Mercedes convertible. That belief won't change the facts. We're not saved by the act of belief, but by the object of our belief, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 3:36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. The one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Now, the first judge mentioned is Gideon, the dreamer. And following the pattern throughout the book of Judges, the Israelites had 40 years of peace, which they took for granted. And they, over time, strayed from God. God punished them by oppressing them through the Midianites and Amalekites and other Bedouin people. And then he raised up and chose Gideon to free Israel and condemn the idolatry. The story is told in Judges chapter 6, if you want to look at it. And a visitor went to Gideon 7 times and is identified as the angel of the Lord. God's power was made perfect in Gideon's weakness. And when he came to Gideon, Gideon was hiding in a wine press. He didn't want to be caught. And we pick it up, Judges 6:12. The Lord's angel appeared to him there and said, "The Lord is with you, brave and mighty man." Now, was the angel being sarcastic? I like being sarcastic. Or maybe the angel saw his hidden potential. But God takes us where we are. He sees what we can become. And imagine what we could be if we gave 100% of all that we are to God. In Judges 7, 135,000 Midianites were about to do battle against only 32,000 Israelites. And that was 4-1 odds against Israel. And that's not fair. So God made the odds better for Midian. Judges 7:2, the Lord said to Gideon, "There are too many of you. I can't let all of you fight the Midianites, for then the people of Israel will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength." You know, God knows we tend to take credit for what God has given to us. And to keep Israel from bragging, God reduced Gideon's army from 32,000 down to 300. Now the odds were 450-1 against Israel. It was impossible for Israel to win without God. And God wants us to realize we're only going to win ultimately with him. The Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites." And we read elsewhere, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit," says the Lord of hosts. The odds were against Gideon. It was impossible. Israel's army of 300, says the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. But if God is with us, the impossible is possible. In fact, Jesus said in Mark 9, "Everything is possible for the person who has faith." That's the point. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I should write a song. Judges 7:9, "That night the Lord said, 'Get up. Go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them.'" Well, Gideon went back to the Israelite camp and said, "Get up, the Lord is giving you victory over the Midianite army." And once before Moses told Israel, he did all this so that you'd never say to yourself, "I achieved this with my own strength and energy." Remember the Lord your God, he's the one who gives you power to be successful. That hasn't changed. God assures us success, but he expects us to do the work. 2 Chronicles 16 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." And I wonder if he searches the whole earth because there's so few whose hearts are totally committed to him. But God promises the faithful. Isaiah 41, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm your God. Let nothing terrify you. I'll make you strong and help you. I'll protect you and save you." In Deuteronomy 31, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't panic before them. The Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He'll neither fail you nor abandon you." And in Matthew 28, Jesus said he's going to stick with us too if we do what he says. He says, "Make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be sure of this, I am with you always." Always is a long time. If we make Disciples, baptize, teach them. Jesus won't leave us. Before the battle even began, God spoke of the victory in the past tense. Hadn't even happened yet. But the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp. I have given you victory over them. And Gideon says, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Our future success is guaranteed when we obey God. And that's the promises of God. He never lies. I believe God has a sense of humor because I like humor. God equipped the troops, the Israelites, with amazing weapons in this battle. Trumpets, torches, broken jars, and shouts. Who wouldn't want to go into battle like that?
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
Judges 7:16, Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies. He gave each ram's horns and jars with torches inside. He said to them, watch me. Do what I do. When I come to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and those who are with me blow our ram's horns, then the rest of you around the camp do the same. Gideon and his 100 men blew the ram's horns and smashed the jars they were holding in their hands. The three companies also blew their ram's horns and broke their jars. They held the torches in their left hands and the ram's horns in their right hands so that they could blow them. And they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Now, several nations had gathered in battle against Israel, and they spoke different languages. They couldn't understand all the languages around them. And it says that Israel just stood and watched as the whole vast enemy army began rushing around in a panic, shouting and running away. For in the confusion, the Lord caused the enemy troops to begin fighting and killing each other from one end of the camp to the other. And everybody was shouting in their own language. God's enemies ran for their lives. And God promised and promises the faithful, the Lord will defeat your enemies before you. They'll march out together against you, but scatter before you in seven directions. Israel obeyed God's orders exactly. And each one of God's people did their part. Each man kept his position around the camp. Well, Gideon was followed by a man named Barak, not Barak. Barak obeyed the judge, Deborah. He went up against a superior army of a general named Sisera and his 900 chariots of iron, and he only had 10,000 Israelite fighters. But he only agreed to go if Deborah would go with him. And some see Barak as spineless. Others say, no, he's wise for aligning himself with Deborah's connection with God. We'll see if you can see what she's implying to him. Judges 4, verse 9, she answered, all right, I'll go with you. But you won't get any of the credit for the victory because the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. So Deborah set off for Kedesh with Barak. When Barak attacked with his army, the Lord threw Sisera into confusion together with all his chariots and men. Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and the army, and Sisera's whole army was killed. Not a man was left. And if you look in the scriptures on how did General Sisera end his time on earth? It was soon afterward that a lady named Jael, the wife of Heber, drove a tent peg into Sisera's head while he was sleeping. He didn't have her pegged for that. And he didn't escape from jail. That was her stake in God's plan. She violated his temple before heading out. And that's the end of the puns. Barak's faith was mentioned even though a woman got the credit. Afterward, there was peace in Israel for 40 years until Israel rebelled again. Then there was Samson. A liberal college professor sarcastically asked his students, do any of you know what the Bible claims Samson armed himself with to kill 1,000 Philistines? And no student gave an answer. So to help him, he tapped his jaw with one finger, and the class shouted, the jawbone of an ass? Samson made so many bad decisions that he was a perfect example of what not to do. As a Nazarite from birth, there were restrictions. Don't drink wine. Don't eat anything unclean. Don't touch anything dead. Don't cut your hair. And he broke all of those and more. Eventually, he married outside of his faith. He partied hard with his pagan friends. But Samson is included in this faith chapter because he placed his faith in God. And though he strayed away, he returned to God before he died. And that gives us hope as well. His name is there. Jephthah is included because of his faith. He was a judge in Israel for 6 years. And he was the judge who led Israel to defeat the Ammonites, who are modern-day Jordan. But he rashly vowed to sacrifice whatever came out of the front door of his house first, which just happened to be his only daughter. He faithfully carried out his vow that God didn't ask him to make, but he carried it out, and it served as a warning to be careful what you promise God. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah served as faithful judges, and he then moves to commend faithful, righteous kings. Verse 32, it would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of David. Well, David was the most famous king of Israel's history. He represents all the other righteous kings. In fact, the most frequently mentioned person in the Bible is Jesus. He's mentioned 1,281 times. Number three on the list is Moses at 803 times, just barely 800. But ranked number two is David at 971 times. Very famous individual. As a child, 1 Samuel 17:34, David said, "I take care of my father's sheep. Anytime a lion or bear carries off a lamb, I go after it, attack it, and rescue the lamb. If the lion or bear turns on me, I grab it by the throat and beat it to death." Wow. So when the army of Israel thought Goliath was too big to defeat, David thought he was too big to miss. And he said, "This is the day that the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." That's faith. And after this, Samuel took a flask of oil that he'd brought and anointed David with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. But before David ascended to the throne that was promised, when he was anointed, he actually was anointed three different times. He faithfully waited on God to deliver on his word. And while he was waiting, on 24 different occasions, King Saul tried to kill David or had someone else try. And David ran and hid from Saul for 16 years before he was declared king. And that would test anyone's faith in God. While he was hiding in a cave, and he had not yet realized the promise, David wrote, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaching to the skies." And for all his flaws and shortcomings, David was a man of faith. And then there's a commendation for righteous prophets. Time will not allow me to tell of Samuel and the prophets. Samuel was the last of the judges and the first of the prophets. He anointed Israel's first king. And he's a bridge, Samuel is, between the judges, prophets, and kings. And we can only guess the identity of the others. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms. And that conquered word means overcame, struggled against, agonized over, and subdued. The judges would rally Israel to return to God, and when they would conquer their enemies. Through faith, they did what God approved. And we think of people like Elijah, who challenged the false religion of Baal, or Elisha, who healed a leper in Naaman by having him dip in the Jordan River, which was a picture of baptism. Daniel refused to eat the king's food or drink his wine because he was faithful to God. Joseph ruled and remained righteous in Egypt. Esther ruled in Persia in righteousness. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms and received what God had promised them to a degree. By faith, they held on to God's promises to get them through their terrible times, which he did. And God, how many of his promises does God keep? All. Joshua 21, the Lord promised to do many good things for Israel. He kept his promise every time. 1 Kings 8, praise the Lord, he has kept his promise and given us peace. Every good thing he promised to his servant Moses has happened. Too bad politicians don't keep their promises, huh? One politician was in a remote town, little town, looking for votes. He asked the people of that town what their needs were, and they said they had two problems. First, they didn't have a doctor. And the politician whipped out his cell phone and spoke for quite a few minutes passionately and hung up and promised that a doctor would be there soon. He asked about the second problem. They said that there was absolutely no cell phone coverage anywhere in the village. And you know that the word politics is made up of two words, poly, which is many, and tics, which is bloodsuckers. Politicians make and break many promises. God keeps all of his promises. By faith, some of them shut the mouths of lions. That's verse 33. And you remember how David, I just read, attacked lions to protect his sheep. Or we remember Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. Or the Bible says the Lord's Spirit took control of Samson. And with his bare hands, he tore a lion apart as though it had been a young goat. By faith, some quenched the power of fire. And you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a furnace that was heated seven times hotter by Nebuchadnezzar. But it wasn't just three in the fire. There were four. And it describes it. Daniel 3, verse 25, the fourth is like the Son of God. God joined them, and they came out. They didn't even smell like fire. Some escaped the swords of their enemies, and that might refer to the Israelites being delivered by God as long as Moses had his hands held up in praise. The weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. And all those in Hebrews 11 were ordinary people with extraordinary faith, which gives us hope. God is faithful even after death. Verse 35, women received their loved ones back again from death. And you think of Elijah, who brought the son of the widow of Zarah back to life, or Elisha, who raised the dead in 2 Kings 4. And some of us have actually ourselves, or we have a loved one that was brought back near death, brought back to God. And that's through the faithful prayers given to our faithful God. And God says, okay, postpone. You're not going to escape death forever, but postponement. Sometimes God allows his saints to die to rise again to a better life. Verse 35, many of these people were tortured. They refused to be released. Some were jeered at, their backs cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They were wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. That's nice. That means they will reach perfection with us. And so what's the takeaway? The eyes of faith chooses to look forward and upward. And the reason is they were sure they would get a better reward for the dead after they were raised for life, eternal life. And God promises a resurrection, and I'd like to end with one scripture. It's out of Romans 6, verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Baptism is a picture of burial. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we'll also be raised to life as he was. Which is another reminder, if you haven't personally chosen to join Jesus in baptism, we need to do so when we still have time. Maybe that's why some people are still alive, or can be a catalyst for family members and friends where we need to tell them they need to do that. The water's warm and the clock is ticking.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.